We have things to talk about today. We're going to talk about the Elephant Seals and Superpalooza, or Superbration. It's one of those.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
I'm looking forward to it. Happy Wednesday. It's going to be kind of mild today. It's even in North County in the 80s, which is pretty nice. And then a mild along the coast and a mild in the interiors. Like, never mind. Everybody calls it something different. I thought the interior sounded pretty good. Well, today, the big story, I would have to say, is Prince Harry and the Royal Jewels. Now, I'd never heard of this before, but anything to get a woman to take her clothes off, I guess. So they were playing a strip billiards. Your punchline goes here.
Hello, Central Coast. Charter Telephone is now available in your neighborhood, and now's the time to enjoy the savings for yourself.
Hello, Simplicity.
There's no new equipment to buy. You use the same phone and phone jacks, and of course, you keep the same home phone number.
Hello, Savings.
Charter Telephone includes unlimited nationwide calling, so it's just as easy to call across town as it is across the country.
Hello, Value.
Our plans come with 10 of the most popular features, including caller ID and call waiting. It's like your current phone service in every way, only better. And when you bundle Charter Telephone with Charter Digital Cable and high-speed internet, the savings only get better with one low monthly bill. So what are you waiting for? Answer the call. Charter Telephone is here. Find out more at charter.com or call 1-866-608-4134. Service is not available in all areas. Unlimited long-distance calling includes U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. Restrictions apply. Offer ends 12/31/07. Call 1-866-608-4134 for details.
Have you ever worked with Coastal Computers? Coastal Computers is here for the small business. The small business that needs computers, technology, and networking to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. They're here for the small business that needs to get it right the first time, who can't afford the pain and the horror stories that we've all heard about. Coastal Computers has been making the tough stuff easy for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're worth a call at 543-9047. Call 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. ccslo.com right now. The small business favorite's favorite. ccslo.com. Coastal Computers.
Coastal Computers right there will fix you up. I know you're saying, Bill, why don't you go call Coastal Computers and see if they can fix you up? Chain of command and all that. Get involved in it. Let's do our flashback in history, our highlight, and what's going on with our birthdays today, according to the Tribune. Our highlight in history on August 22nd, 1862, President Abraham Lincoln's publicly responded to Horace Greeley's prayer for 20 millions, which had urged Lincoln to take more drastic steps in abolishing slavery. Lincoln replied that his priority was saving the Union, but also repeated his personal wish that all men everywhere could be free. On this date in 1787, inventor John Fitch demonstrated a steamboat on the Delaware River to delegates from the Constitutional Convention in Philly. 5 years ago, President George W. Bush, addressing the Veterans of Foreign War Convention in Kansas City, Missouri, offered a fresh endorsement of Iraqi Prime Minister, calling him a good guy, good man with a difficult job. Whatever. Birthdays today, retired General Norman Schwarzkopf is 78, actress Valerie Harper, 73, Football coach Bill Parcells is 71, singer Tori Amos is 49, and comedian actress Christine Willig is 39 today. Happy birthday to them, but most especially to you if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Hello.
Most smokehouse barbecues have been knocking them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad, six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Most has enormous selection of sides from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Adventure. I'll tell you what we're going to do, a Calco Snooze, but let me first tell you, remind you, even though I think we have a spot running for it. The annual siren test is this Saturday, August 25th. It's at noon and 12:30, and it'll test the sirens that can be used for tsunami, flood, nuclear, fire, hazmat, evacuation, or shelter in place. And they sent me a really pretty card here with a picture of Montaña de Oro, I think, or maybe it's by Diablo. And that fancy annual thing here. Fancy postcard. Maybe if you haven't gotten yours, you might want to frame it when you get it. Okay. Find a small frame. Hey, in the news, according to CalCoastNews.com, a former Cal Poly assistant coach, let me get rid of this here, who was arrested for allegedly attacking another man with a beer bottle at Harry's nightclub and beach bar in Pismo, was formally charged with two felonies yesterday. Randy Allen Hansen, 44, is slated to be arraigned in San Luis Obispo County Superior Court on September 5th for felony assault with a deadly weapon and felony battery with serious bodily injury. August 4th, Hansen arrived at the beach bar with a group of people just days before the Mustangs preseason training camp was scheduled to begin. Following the alleged assault, medics treated Hansen's alleged victim at the scene, sent him home. On August 6th, Cal Poly Athletic Director Don Oberhelman suspended Hansen indefinitely. Hansen, whose resume includes assistant coaching for three different NFL teams, resigned from his assistant coach position last week after only 4 months on the job. While Hansen was an assistant with the Raiders in 2009, he said Raiders head coach Tom Cable threw him from a chair in a heated argument, fracturing his jaw and ruining his relationship with the Raiders franchise. Hansen later sued Cable but dropped the case because of lack of evidence. And the picture, they have a picture of him here, and it's somewhere between a mugshot and a family photo. I can't quite figure it out. Anyway, there it is. Oh, as you may have heard yesterday, I'm sure you have by now, that the Board of Supervisors shot down the Aurora Grandy, the Wasna Valley oil pipeline project. That was Acceleron, the plan called for drilling as many as 12 wells on the Mencken Ranch, about 10 miles east of Aurora Grande on this backside of the Wasna Valley. Acceleron's planner, Carol Florence, requested a continuation in order to provide time for the county's environmental impact consultant to make changes to his report. She has repeatedly pointed out that the county planning commission's denial of the project was based on inaccurate information that conflicted with the county's environmental impact report. Supervisor Adam Hill was the first to speak against the project and the continuation, noting the risk of fires in the remote area, opposing the project because of concerns over the project's compatibility in the rural area. Supervisor Paul Teixeira drew support from his fellow supervisors. Nevertheless, county staff said Acceleron planners can reply in the future by submitting an amended proposal as a new drilling plan, which after 5 years to get shot down this one, I can't imagine why you'd try that, but okay. Maybe they could, as Ann Calhoun wrote today in the Tribune, maybe they could propose windmills and solar. But I don't know that people in Washington want that out there either. And then we want to say happy retirement to Gare Sabach, who's been the longest running controller that we've ever had for 22 years. He was first elected auditor controller in 1990 and reelected in 94, 99, 2002, 2006, 2010. San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors will appoint an interim auditor controller to replace him, who said he plans to retire on December 29th. Sabach said it's a good time for him to step aside because the county is in good financial shape and he is proud to leave behind outstanding department staff. So that's kind of cool. All right. And we congratulate him on his great efforts as our auditor controller. That's what's happening at Cal Coast News right now. Don't forget, 24/7, you can look up Cal Coast News and see what's going on. There's opinion pieces and many other things that can fit into place there also for you. I leave the opinions to you and yours.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hey, here was a fun thing in the paper that I thought, because they look ahead at the class of 2016. Okay, so 2012, 4 years from now. So the kid's going to college starting now. The kid's going to college. And they say this is a Beloit's college mindset list for the class of 2016. They have a number of things over here, too, before we get to that. Remember when a suitcase had to be carried instead of rolled, or when an airline ticket was a booklet of pages separated by carbon paper? Maybe you remember Lou Gehrig held the Major League record for consecutive baseball games. this year's college freshmen don't. They've never lived in a world where Kurt Cobain was alive or an NFL team played its home games in L.A. Class of 2016 has no need for radios, watches, television, everywhere except on actual TV sets, is addicted to electronic narcotics. These are among the 75 references they found. Students are also accustomed to seeing women in positions of leadership. They were born in a time when Madeleine Albright was serving as the first female U.S. Secretary of State, and women have held the position for most of their lives. And the old Hollywood stereotype of ditzy blonde woman was given way to one of dumb and dumber males, according to that list. So here's the other things they found out. Ready? What's on this list? Women have always piloted warplanes and space shuttles. They have always lived in cyberspace, addicted to new generation of electronic narcotics, which I just used the term. Robert De Niro is thought of as Greg Focker's long-suffering father-in-law, not as Vito Corleone or Jimmy Conway. The real world has always stopped being polite and started getting real on MTV. Bill Clinton is a senior statesman of whose presidency they have little knowledge. There's always been football in Jacksonville, but never in L.A. They never listen to music on the car radio and really have no use for all radio at all, having grown up with MP3s and iPods. Since they've been born, the United States has measured progress by a 2% jump in unemployment and a 16-cent rise in the price of first-class postage stamps. A significant percentage of them will enter college already displaying some hearing loss. There have always been blue M&Ms, but no tan ones. And history has always had its own channel. And I'll throw one in, too. The weather's always had its own channel, as far as they know. We used to have that. All right. That's what's going on. That's what's making them what they are today. That's what the young people are about. Okay, I think that's just fine. Okay, we have wildfires, of course, as you know, everywhere. I mean, the whole West is on fire, and it's really pathetic. And so here was an article on the politics. Here was a little comment on the politics of wildfires, because there are politics involved.
More than 1,100 firefighters are on the ground.
I looked up and everything was black. It was like I was in a black box.
An explosive fire combining lots of dry fuel and strong wind quickly engulfed homes.
It's pretty close. It's pretty frightening.
Still hasn't registered that we don't have a home.
It was fire everywhere. Like, you turn around, everywhere, it was on all sides of you.
Everybody's house is gone. All my friends, my neighbors, you know, people I care about, and we're all going to have to move, rebuild. Hug, shed some tears, and start over.
2012 is destined to set a record for most land burned in a year by wildfires. Fire officials report nearly 11,000 square miles have burned so far. That's about the size of Massachusetts. And fires are still burning. But in Arizona, there's one guy that says those numbers don't add up to anything.
Fire statistics absolutely stink. They're almost worthless.
Steve Pine is a fire historian and professor at Arizona State. He says the figures are nothing new.
It's deja vu all over again. I mean, how many times do we have to keep looking at the same stuff? And you're left wondering, why can't we solve it?
I'm Tommy Andres. It's been almost exactly 100 years since the U.S. established its first firefighting strategy. Basically, it was stamp out every fire. And they would, no matter what. In the cities or in the wild. The result was no big wildfires for around 50 years, but when they did come back, there was much more fuel to burn, and they were harder to fight.
What this did was build up combustibles that now give us more intense fires and change the character of fire so that plants or trees that were adapted to surface fires are no longer adapted to the kinds of fires we've seen.
Around mid-century, that strategy changed to one of letting fires burn in wild areas as they naturally would.
We spent 50 years trying to move heaven and earth to take fire out of the landscape. And 50 years ago, the reaction set in, and we've spent 50 years trying to find some way to put it back in.
There are good fires, and like good cholesterol in your body, good fires help maintain a healthy balance in the ecosystem. But putting them back isn't easy. It's a matter of politics. Land use in the U.S. is much different now than the early 1900s. Instead of living on cleared land in cities and on farms, more people are moving to remote areas closer to public lands, which are the perfect habitat for wildfires. And Pine says the biggest challenge is balancing nature's needs with the interests of governments, interest groups, businesses, and the average American.
We keep pretending that it's a fire problem. It's not a fire problem. It's a how we live on the land problem. And it's exacerbated by the question of who gains and who pays.
Homeowners want their houses safe. Environmental groups want to preserve nature. Federal and state governments want to keep costs down. And firefighters want to stay safe. Federal agencies have been working on drafting a new cohesive strategy plan for the past few years. The hope is to replace the one from 100 years ago. They're now in phase two of three. The plan is an effort to decide who should do what and who should pay for what. Educating the average American is also an important step toward decreasing wildfire starts, which are mostly caused by people. Something Bill Kagi, the fire director of the National Park Service, says has been a big success over the past 100 years, even in this banner year.
If you look at nationally from the number of ignitions we've had, we're down about 10, 11,000 starts from where we would be this time from like a 10-year average standpoint. But we're up in acres. We're probably a million and a half acres over where we would be on a 10-year average standpoint. So if you put that in perspective, we're probably in many respects at average.
Steve Pines is cautiously optimistic about the new cohesive strategy, but says politics may bog it down.
Sometimes I have to say it does look like the effort for a national health care program where everybody has their own particular interest. And by the time you put all this stuff together, it looks like gibberish.
Meanwhile, the federal budget will likely be eaten up well before the wildfire season is over this year. And some states are already out of cash. In New Mexico, they've gone back to the old method of stamping out all fires because managing the fires has become too expensive. And some are concerned that even temporarily returning to that old policy could be a mistake. Just one in a series that Pine says have been made in the last 100 years.
What we did was create an ecological insurgency. And for a while, we can keep the lid on it by sending in more troops and more planes. But we're not going to carpet bomb it away. You have to take control of the countryside. And that's what's proved difficult because we can't decide collectively what we want that countryside to be, what kinds of fires we want. And so fires are just running on their own terms.
Tommy Andres, CNN.
Hello. You're with Bill. It's 25 minutes now past the hour, 12 o'clock, and I have guests here because we're going to talk about the Grand Ole Superbration to raise money for the Elephant Seal Project. And let's start with a Campbell Soup ad, even though camels won't be present for this.
Not so many years ago, tomato soup and cream of tomato were unusual dishes, enjoyed very much, but not very often. Today, of all the soups in the world, tomato soup is the one most often served. Not because women have taken to making tomato soup frequently. No, on the contrary, few housewives ever attempt it anymore. There's just one reason for tomato soup's popularity, and it is this. The magic, matchless flavor of Campbell's tomato soup. There's a lively verve, a dashing zest about this flavor that people take to at once and come back to and enjoy again and again. The first racy taste of it has a way of arousing a desire to eat. And yet there's a pleasant feeling of satisfaction when the last spoonful is gone. So this soup is a happy choice for the main dish at lunchtime or at supper, and it also is a fine way to start the day's main meal. Serve it sometimes, too, as cream of tomato, made with milk instead of water. You can always be sure that it will be received with pleasure, because this, of all soups, is the one people like to have most often, Campbell's tomato soup.
There you go, right there. Campbell's tomato soup. Now, we don't care. We don't give a hoot about Campbell's tomato soup today because we're talking about the Grand Ole Superbration that's going to happen in Cambria. And it's going to be a great event. There's going to be soup and wine and authors and art and all the great things in the whole wide world. My guests today are Charmaine Coimbra, and also I have Matt Beckett here from Linz. And I'm a pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Bill. Good. Pleasure to be here.
Let's do this before we get to the celebration. So this has to do with the elephant seal colony that's at the north end of is it in San Simeon or is it Cambria?
It's north of San Simeon.
Okay, yeah, right. Okay, yeah. Okay. Can you pull your microphone a little bit closer to you? Just move the thing closer.
There we go.
Okay.
All right, how's that?
And then turn it towards you a little bit. I'm sorry. I didn't have that adjusted very good. There you go. Okay. Okay,
so, can I tell you about the Friends of the Elephant Seal?
Yes, we want to know about the Friends of the Elephant Seal. I want to know also, besides just the Friends, I wonder about how it came to be that the Elephant Seals decided to park their fannies there.
Okay, well, first of all, the elephant seal showed up first. We've asked them. They haven't given us an honest reply, but we know that in 1990, two elephant seals showed up near the Piedras Blancas Lighthouse. By 1992, we had our first birth, and now we have a population of approximately 17,000 northern elephant seals at Piedras Blancas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a nice place, apparently.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
What do marine biologists, that who it would be, what do they project in the future? Do they project this colony to continue to grow?
It's hard to project the future with these elephant seals. But we do know that the location had a lot to do with the way it faces. It's a south-facing beach. It has a high rise from the winter tides, which
is
important for an elephant seal. And, it has the dunes and it has bluffs. It has a kelp forest. And these are typical to what an elephant seal will look for hauling out. That happens twice a year.
Okay, now the Friends of the Elephant Seal is how old? When do you guys start?
We formed in 1997 out of necessity.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that by that point, that colony was large enough to say, somebody better watch out what's going on here.
Exactly.
Because people, they don't mean to be goofy, but we can't help ourselves. So they want to get close to these animals all the time. That's where we're compelled to get closest to animals as we possibly can for some reason. And I don't know why with the elephant seal. I said to you on the phone, and I mean this, I think that it's a wonderful beast, this elephant seal, but it sure is not attractive, I'll tell you that.
He's attractive to a female anestrus and maybe to his mama.
That's it. Now, here's the interesting thing, too, is I've, of course, gone and seen the elephant seals and taken people that visit and all that kind of stuff. And I have never seen, is the colony at some point pretty active? Well, probably during mating season, I suppose.
It's most active during the winter months. At that time, we have a large population. We have the adult females who come in pregnant and give birth on the beach, and we also have all of the adult males on the beach or at peripheral beaches. So that's usually our busiest time of the year as far as population of elephant seals. Also during the months of May and June, it's busy with molting elephant seals who come in. So those are our two.
Otherwise, they kind of just lay there.
They kind of live a beach bum's life.
Yeah, they do.
Because I've
seen one rear its head, I think. That was about it. Everything else was just laying there.
Anyway, they have to conserve energy because they're on a fast.
That's true. They're big, too. All right, so Central Coast Friends of the Elephant Seal. Now, what are you a nonprofit, I assume?
That's correct, 501c3.
Okay, and so you raise money to the docents are volunteers, are they
We're
not?
We're docents. We have about 90 or more docents with a turnover because a lot of people are really excited to become a docent. We are well educated by the time we go out there on the bluffs.
And then after you deal with the public, which we all know, I can ask the chef right here, after you've dealt with the public for a little while, then you say to yourself, I don't want any more of this, thanks. If I was just dealing with the seals, it'd be fine, but there's the people are involved.
Well, mostly, we're blessed with an amazing amount of people who come out from all over the world, everywhere.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And they're great. I think maybe the one thing that might wear out docents is the weather. And, we make sure that everybody understands that those bluffs can be really windy and cold. But for the majority of it, we absolutely love to be out there. And we love to talk to people. And we have nice warm jackets and gloves. And we just get right through it.
That's true. And so now, of course, part of what you have established out there is a boardwalk type thing so that people can get to it, and then an observation deck. And so that, of course, obviously is really great because we're sitting right there on the edge of a road.
Those have been tremendous improvements over what was out there in 1997. Safe for us, safe for the seals.
Friends of the Elephant Seal. Now, we have a Superbration coming up, and this is the huge event, and it's Sunday, September 9th, and it's from noon to 4 p.m., and so it's at Camp Ocean Pines, Cambria, and so Charmaine's going to tell us how to get there.
Yeah, the best route... from what you can look at the Google map, I think it'll just confuse you. My recommendation is you take Highway 1 to Ardeth, take Ardeth all the way to the end, and make a left-hand turn on Randall. Go straight up Randall. You'll come to 1473 on the right side. You'll see a big sign that says Camp Ocean Pines. You make a right-hand turn. But we will have signage. We're going to have directional signage for people coming from the north part of Highway 1 and people coming from the south end of Highway 1.
Now, let me ask you a question. So this Camp Ocean Pines, it sounds, I think I have kind of where it is. Is it, so do you have a view of the ocean?
Oh, yeah. They're right up on top of a bluff. It's absolutely some of the most spectacular real estate on the Central Coast.
Really?
And it's right up on the bluffs. You get a big, huge view, and it's in the pines. So it's Cambria in the pines personified.
Right, right. That's really neat. That's really neat. All right. We have one of the things that's going on is we have celebrity judges and we have a soup contest, and so we have our executive chef Matt Beckett from Lens is here, and nice to see you, Matt.
Thank you, Bill.
You know, I think I remember you from Corner View. I got to tell you the truth. I think so. Matt was, this is weird. Corner View Restaurant, which is now Happy Burgers or whatever it's called. You know, the $12.
It's a burger joint.
$12
now,
hamburgers. Yes. It was Lens for quite some time, and then the Lens said, "Okay, we're heading back to Cambria," and then it became the Corner View. And what's curious is that Matt, you know, worked for the Corner View, what used to be Lens, and now works for Lens, which is kind of great, really.
Small town. Very small town.
That's true. You know how it is. It really is.
Small world.
All right. Now, let's talk about who's involved in the soup cook-off and what happens.
Well, the soup contest, we've got a few different restaurants involved. The Cavalier in San Simeon is going to be there. And we've got a couple new people, too. It looks like the chef Gary Parker, Divine Street Catering, will be there from Cayucas. We've got Et Vola, which would be Jose, a good friend of mine here in San Luis. The Lido Restaurant will be there, and they were there last year, and they placed one of the categories, too. Mm-hmm. So they'll be defending one of their categories. And then, of course, we've got Moonstone Beach Bar and Grill in Cambria, and we also have Robbins from Cambria.
And
then
Novo signed
okay.
up.
Okay, and we have Novo now, too, on board, which is a great networking of chefs here in restaurants.
These
are fabulous.
These are great restaurants.
Yeah, lots of qualified soup.
So now, it's not like everybody's doing clam chowder, like a clam chowder thing. It's like you are going to make your own soup, and it can be whatever it is, and they make theirs whatever it is. And
yeah, we come up with, you know, personally, I'm passionate about, you know, the farm to table, so I try and go with the seasonal and what I can get from the farm or from farmer's market. So that's something that I like to do, just because it's going to be the best, freshest produce available, and it's local, and it really showcases, you know, the beautiful environment that we have around here. And it's just a great time. It's not going to be just soup too. There's wineries involved in it, so it's good food, good wine, good people, and boy, the venue sounds beautiful too up there.
Oh, it really does. Yeah.
And House of Bread is going to bring bread so people can clean their palate in between tasting the soups. And we also have We Olive. They'll be having samples of their olives and their olive oils. And also coming this year will be Chaparral Gardens with their artisan vinegars. And the best part is Red Moose cookies.
Yeah, one of the best-known secrets in Cambria. Yeah, that is a good choice there for dessert.
And then we have six wineries.
Okay, let's talk about the wineries.
Well, we have one of the things that we try to do with this event is we try to bring in wineries that you might not go to all the time. Some of the wineries we bring in don't have showrooms yet. So we have Coot Rizzola, and I practiced that all the way here, and I still can't get it. I want to be phonetic. And we have Harmony Cellars. We have Hearst Ranch Wines coming, Hearthstone Winery, Sculptera, and Zaneta Wines. And,
well, I haven't seen a current list of wineries on the Central Coast, but I bet it would knock my socks off. I mean, there are just a lot of people doing wine.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I'm not a wine drinker myself, but my wife can guzzle it down.
We're going to have beer.
Okay, there you go. That's a good idea. So, but here's the thing. She has a good palate for wines, and, you know, it says, you know, I'm the designated driver when I take her and her friends wine tasting. And so, but, you know, my impression is just how remarkably good so many of the wines are on the Central Coast.
They're a delight.
Yeah, that's really amazing to me.
We're super fortunate to be living where we're at, and I think that's why there's so many smiles around town, is all those wineries. And
well, you know, the other thing is I mean, I have to tell you the truth. When you look at the amount of grapes that have been planted now from, let's go down to, let's say,
Santa Barbara County.
Santa Barbara County up to King City and beyond, actually beyond King City, because you have a bunch of grapes there. I mean, it's just amazing how many acres we have in grapes. And I'm one of these people, not being a wine drinker, that goes, who's drinking all this stuff? You know, how can they possibly all this?
I am a wine drinker. We have amazing microclimates, too. So the varietals of wines that are coming out of the Central Coast right now are just spectacular. And they've been winning all kinds of awards, not just, you know, in the States, but around the world. So fortunate.
My guests are Matt Beckett, who's the executive chef at Lynn's in Cambria, and Charmaine Coimbra. And she's the representative from the Friends of the Elephant Seals. And we're talking about this wonderful event that's called Grand Ole Superbration, and it's going to be on Sunday, September 9th. It's from noon to 4 p.m. at Camp Ocean Pines in Cambria. There's going to be a jazz band by the name of Crustacea, which is cracking me up. and that's cool. The tickets are $40, and they're online at, let me tell you what these are, www.brownpapertickets.com. So that's a capital B, capital P, capital T, www.brownpapertickets.com. Although I think if you Google that, it'll just come up no matter what you do. And then if you need more information, let me give you this, a number of 924-1628. That's 924-1628. You can also go to superbration@live.com. or www.elephantseal.org. So there's lots and lots and lots and lots. Now let's talk about also, we have another thing that's going on, and this is we have authors and artists.
Yeah, you know, part of what we did with this year's event is we're trying to create the ultimate Central Coast lifestyle event. We're not the warmest climate on the planet, particularly those of us on the coast, so soup, wine, we read a lot, and we have a lot of artists. So, the Friends of the Elephant Seal, our mission is an educational mission. Our mission is to help people better understand the Northern Elephant Seal and our unique marine environment. So, we brought in authors that we thought the Central Coast population might be really interested in. We have David Helvarg. He is one of the most highly recognized marine environmental journalist authors around the country. An absolute delight to meet, and just full of information. We have, for kids, Marianne D. Wallace. She is a children's natural science author, mm-hmm. illustrator. She's an award-winning author, just like David Helvarg is. Mm-hmm. And because we love our Central Coast writers, we brought in Sue McGinty, who is our Central Coast mystery writer. And we're going to have a storyteller circle where people can just come and listen to each author, talk about their books, chat with them, have some fruit and cheese. It's free. It's part of the event now. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Then we have five artists, and they will be painting in the plein air style on site. Their work will be photographed by Meg McNamee, another noted photographer. And those artists are going to be Jeanette Wolfe, Art Van Ryn, Susan Johnson, Tish Rogers, and Gay Melody Sullivan.
Well, this is an event.
And those works are going to be up for silent auction. And these will be, if you get the winning
bid. Oh, so they're going to go there and paint, and then they'll be up for silent auction.
That's exactly right.
That's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, it'll be a really nice way. And then I got to talk about our celebrity judges.
Yeah, we got to talk about celebrity judges.
I wanted to, too, but you do that, Charlie. Yeah, no, it is such a fun event. It really is.
Yeah, oh, good. I'm glad you like it. Well, that's how we wrangled Matt into our first event last year. One of the things, if you're going to have a food competition in foodie country, you got to make sure that you bring in people who maybe aren't a little bit biased. So we brought in last year some celebrity judges, and we expanded it this year. So we will have Neil Farrell as one of our judges. He's a Bay News editor. We also will have Chef Paul Piscopo, who is the executive chef for the W in San Francisco.
And his name's familiar.
Yeah, he gets a lot of press. Yeah, he's a farm-to-table kind of a chef, just like Matt. He's won major awards. And we're going to have our executive chef from the Paso Robles Culinary Institute, Philip Recamini. And then we're also having a Top Chef alum come in, and that's Chef Dakota Weiss. And she was just named by NBC News as L.A.'s Top Chef.
I think we all love Top Chef.
As the best chef in L.A., I was just shocked. We had no idea.
Well, congratulations to Dakota on that.
Yeah. Really. And she's also the executive chef for the W at Westwood.
How many W's are there?
Well, the W, it's a national chain.
It is a national chain.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like a Ritz-Carlton, but for the young hip.
Oh, the young hip. Young hip with money. All right. Well, now, also, we have Chef Ram Fama.
Ram will be our MC. He was one of our celebrity judges last year, and everybody fell in love with him. He took the microphone away from me and stole the show.
Good.
And I said, you did so good. Would you come back and just do the show?
Yes, so, another Food Network celebrity. So they're fun to have. They are entertaining, definitely.
Yeah.
I enjoyed meeting all of them. So.
Yeah. I mean, he talks more than I do. So
I have to – I'm going to confess something. I really am going to Matt. And that is, on the weekends especially, but just different times, I watch the Food Network a lot because it's relaxing. You know, there's not news blaring at you. There's not somebody trying to make you laugh. There's nothing. There's just people that are crazy and cooking, and it's like, okay, fine.
And cooking's come so far. I think with the Internet, too, people have really gotten involved with you know, cooking at home and preparing things. And they want to know how things are made. So.
You know what's interesting? If I remember reading one time in a history book, they said that after the Depression, cooking became very popular just because people hadn't eaten. You know,
sure.
So a lot of people were like, okay, let me get involved in cooking. But I think it's just the fact that we're so exposed now to different programs on TV and stuff. It gets a little tedious, all the competition-y things to me sometimes. But, yeah, it's interesting to, you know, see how people can do things. I have to tell you that, what's that thing called, Chopped? You ever watch that?
Oh, that's a great show.
Right. Yeah. They just put junk in a basket and say, make something out of this. It has to be a breakfast. I mean, it has to be a dessert or an appetizer or something. It's like, what, are you kidding?
Well, Chef Weiss, when she was on Top Chef, her first quickfire was rattlesnake.
Really?
She won.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you're just the best
amazing.
Rattlesnake.
Just amazing.
Well, I think that's one of the misconceptions of soup was that you just throw everything in the pot. And I think nowadays we think a little more ahead of time of what we're doing with it. And it's not old stuff from the refrigerator. It's something fresh out of the garden or fresh from the farm. And
then as a contrast to that, you have the countries in Europe where they have the super pot, you know, where they pass it even down through the family and they keep this thing on a warm burner in the back of the stove the whole time. It's always on. And they add scraps of whatever meal they just had to this pot. And then they have a little cup of it before dinner, you know. And
their mother sauce, they keep it going. Yeah,
that's amazing.
For years.
That's absolutely amazing.
I think the history of soups, it originated with, you know, kings and queens way back
probably,
in the day.
Probably,
so it's got some deep history, soup
right,
making.
That's
for
cool.
Sure.
I'm excited about the whole affair here. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I encourage people, really. This is Sunday, September 9th. It's a grand old superbration with soup, wine, authors, and art. Sunday, September 9th from noon to 4 p.m. at Camp Ocean Pines in Cambria. And just go up Ardeth and turn on what?
On Randall.
Okay, go up Ardeth and turn on Randall. And don't, because we all know sometimes that our little GPS things, you know, they take us on the most circuitous route in the whole wide world. They'll take you to San Francisco to get to Camp Ocean Pines. They don't want to do
exactly.
That. Okay, and it's $40 a holler, and the tickets are online at www.brownpapertickets.com. For information, you can call 924-1628. Let's go this direction. You can go to elephantseal.org, www.elephantseal.org, and they'll have information there, too. You want to mention your sponsors?
Oh, we have fantastic sponsors. I am so blessed to live in such a generous community. First of all, Camp Ocean Pines is one of our sponsors, as is the San Simeon Tourism Alliance. Super supportive of this event. Idler's Appliance, they have come aboard as a second year as a sponsor, as has Cambria's Frank Fratto. He's our local dentist. And the Cambria Hardware and Lumber Company in Tin City is also a sponsor for a grand old superbration.
Cool. Now, what that brings to mind something. So what do you cook on?
Well, there is a kitchen at Camp Pines that we can use, but a lot of the preparation is done ahead of time. Soups, I think, start with a nice stock, a homemade stock, so that's something that I'll probably be doing the day before.
Right.
And then that morning, I will be preparing my soup, and I'll probably just straight from the restaurant at Lynn's run it over to the Supergration is my
Good
my
idea.
Plan to do it.
Good
yeah.
plan to me.
So
nothing wrong with that plan.
And, you know, we'll have little four-ounce cups. These are all biocompostable because we're a zero-waste event, I might add. And you get a cup for every tasting. You can taste as much as you want.
Yeah, comforting, soothing. I mean, yeah.
But I guarantee you, you won't be able to get through all of them because these soups are so rich. These are not light soups.
That is the thing. I think a good soup draws you in with that first sip, but some of these are going to make you want to finish, you know, lick the bowl clean.
Oh, so absolutely.
A real good soup makes you just want to keep going, digging into it.
And they may not be necessarily dietetic soups.
No, not all of them are, but we. I think last year I did do my vegan. I had a vegan, and then I did from the garden. So I actually brought two soups last
year. And it was from the garden that won.
Yes, it was.
Best soup from the garden.
I will be defending next year, and I might play around with my squashes again, seeing that I have access to a beautiful farm out in Santa Rosa Creek in Cambria.
I know you do.
Well, not just Lynn's. I think last year we used, it was Beth and George Kendall's farm, Dos Pesos Farm, and we did a squash tasting out there of over 20 different squash varietals.
Really?
Which was right in, around the season, just came in. The squash were just ready, right for Supergration. So I'm tempted to do it again, but I need to change it up a little bit. I can't do the same soup, so
well, the
we'll
categories
see.
Are going to be from the garden, from the sea, and from the farm. And then, there, of course, there's a people's choice, and we will have another best of show. So you can come, taste the soups, and you can vote for your favorite soup as well.
It'll be a great event. I hope you guys will get on the horn there and call or go to the website and get information because it's really great. And it looks like a great program and lots of great things
going on
with it. And I want to thank Charmaine Coimber for being here. Matt Beckett from Lynn's, I appreciate it very much.
And, thank you very much.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun, too. It's going to be a good event.
And be sure, if you want to try soup before the Supergration, come on up to Lynn's. We've got our great tomato bisque and
right
grilled
there.
Cheese on
right
the menu
good
there.
For you
want to
good
be dipping,
job. Okay.
You know, get a little
good.
Taste ahead of time.
I'm with you. All right, thanks, you guys.
So depressed.
Remember the disco group Chic? That's who this is. And the title of the thing is Soup for One. Let's get some Cajun.
Greetings, fellow travelers and fellow students. This is the Good Doctor. Oh, I love this time of year. All those fresh-faced young Cuesta and Poly kids, so full of life and other effervescent fluids. Takes me back to my old college days at Boyle Green University, then my master's in red beans from Rice, and my doctorate from Oklahoma State. I'm here to impart an important lesson to all you new students who won't find it in a textbook. Number one, your mama ain't here no more, and she ain't gonna cook you no homemade breakfast. Number two, the Bon Ton Creole Cafe has the best homemade breakfast in town and serves it till 2 p.m. And three, Bon Ton Creole Cafe loves you so much, just text the word Gator right now to 68255 and get a free fried green tomato appetizer, courtesy of the Bon Ton Creole Cafe. Well, well, not your mama, but until you head home with that sack of dirty laundry, we're all you got. 1000 Olive Street, San Louisiana.
Tom, are you okay? He looks like he's in shock. Tom, can you hear me? What happened?
It happened at Rancho Grande.
Rancho Grande?
Rancho Grande Motors. It was a normal day. I thought this was the perfect time to get a new car, so I started looking. All the other dealerships were filled with these high-pressure sales guys. They kept coming at me in wave after wave after wave.
Tom, it's okay. You're here now.
Just when I thought I couldn't take it anymore, I went to Rancho Grande Motors. The people there were helpful without trying to put the squeeze on me. They answered every question I had and were totally upfront and honest about every vehicle.
Wait, a car dealer that was upfront and honest?
They said it's because they live here too. They want to be good neighbors and make sure I'm a customer for life. I couldn't believe it. I found the perfect place to buy a pre-owned vehicle, Rancho Grande Motors.
No wonder you're in shock. Where did you say Rancho Grande Motors was?
1404 Auto Park Way. A little hard to find, but always easy to deal with.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Mike's Shoes, Southside Promenade. And don't forget, they're going to have a big Labor Day weekend tent sale. Things are going to be happening. There's things happening all over the Central Coast. Holy cow. I got people. We have another. I've just arranged an interview for next week for some people. They're going to do a show at Spanos Theater on Poly Campus. And there's just lots of stuff going on, I got to tell you. It's pretty cool. All right, I thought this superbration thing sounded like a real hoot, and I'm glad they had a chance to get these people in here, so we can share. All right, you're with Bill. Talk is cheap. Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYMS, your news station in San Luis Obispo. It's about 6 minutes before the hour, 1 o'clock right now, where the Wizard says calm and collected weather on the Central Coast. However, there's a tropical storm turned into a hurricane headed for Puerto Rico. After Puerto Rico, it could impact, it could actually impact the Republican National Convention in Florida. Which would be kind of exciting, I think. If you could give a speech, you know, in the middle of a hurricane and make it work for yourself, I think that's impressive. And that's the effect of it, don't you think? I mean, it's kind of like you add to the effect there. Okay. Other things that are happening today, Rio Grande is going to save a ton of money because they're not going to have an election. They have everybody's running unopposed in Rio Grande, so they figured, okay, we don't need to do anything. We don't need to do anything. So that's it. So they're gonna save the city $17,000 to $20,000. Deputy City Clerk Kitty Norton said. The city council voted Tuesday to cancel its November 6th election and appoint the three candidates, the mayor and two council members, who are all running unopposed for their seats. It's a little bit different, though, about the idea of saying, well, even if you're not opposed, you don't have to run. But I guess if the city council says we're going to appoint you and that's the way the mop flops, that's the way the mop flops. Interesting situation right there. All right. I'm going to go into the news with some Muzak. This actually all these today. This is by a group called The Band, and they're covers for famous songs and things that other people have done, but I think they're very good.
Beside me, unbreak my heart. just believe it. There's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. See me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. See, I was on the verge of breaking down. Sometimes silence can seem so loud. There are miracles in life I must. But first I know it starts inside of me. Oh, if I can see it, then I can be it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. See me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. Oh, I believe I can fly.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can't. I'm pretty sure. But anyway, they believe they can fly. Here, Bill, this is Talk of Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network, and thanks for joining me on 1340 KYNS, your news station in San Luis Obispo. It's beyond going. Abortion's back in the spotlight now, mostly because of this Missouri rep, Todd Akin, who was one of these self-important narcissistic fools that we don't need more of in Washington, thank you very much. So I don't know why he wouldn't just drop out of the race now, but okay. And if you would vote for this man to send him to Washington, you're out of your mind. Okay? He's part of the problem, not part of the solution, I can tell you that. Anyway, but on about abortion, and women have to really feel very, I haven't talked to women, I haven't talked to my wife even about this, but I guess I have. But, is put upon. I mean, that it just seems very odd to me all of a sudden that, men are trying to decide everything in the world about women. like, leave it alone, would you? God. All right, and then Three Strikes Initiative restokes the political fire because we're going to have a ballot on the Prop 36 is going to be on the ballot, and basically it says that they're sentenced three if you have commit three crimes, not necessarily felonies, so it don't have to be felonies now, three crimes, you can you get 25 to life. See, now it's life without chance of parole, and people are getting sent to prison for life without parole for, you know, swiping candy bars. So that really doesn't make any sense, I wouldn't think, either. So they depend on the severity of the crime. You know, it would be 25 years to life. And I don't really know. When you get this parole and good behavior and all that stuff, I don't know. Unless you serve life without parole, I don't think 25 to life is ever life, is it? Anyhow, it seems excessive in a lot of cases, and so that's going to be on the ballot. Let's see what we can talk about that. Colony Square is being scaled back. They, I never really got a reason in here that made any sense to me, but they said because it seems in San Luis Obispo where they're putting apartments and businesses on second floors and third floors, it seems to me it's a growing demand thing as opposed to a problem. But anyway, Colony Square was going to have more housing and stuff on top of the new buildings. Second, third floors, but at this point now they're saying no, they're going to cut back a little bit on that idea. And but they, you know, they're continuing to build and trying to make a more flexible plan for the downtown project. Is that Atascadero? Is that downtown? Is that that intersection right there at 41 and El Camino Real? Is that downtown Atascadero? I'd claim a much bigger strip. I mean, you know, as long as you got all that stuff, you know, I would say it's, you know, longer. It's longer. You know, now, and I have to tell you the truth about what I don't know about. I could look it up, though. I will look it up and see if we can find out what E.B. Lewis, his plan was for a downtown in Atascadero. It'd be interesting to know that. C.L. Lewis, we find out what's going on with it. Jimmy Kimmel's been moved to 11:30 to compete with Jay Leno and to compete with David Letterman. And so then Nightline, which actually does better than all of them, is being moved now to 12:30, so that's kind of interesting. So we'll see when the three of them are bumping heads what actually that ends up doing. As a guess, I think it divides the pie up more. And in the long run, that's not to anyone's benefit. But, hey, that's me. That's just me. They mentioned the disaster they had with Conan O'Brien in the tonight slot. See, the problem is he works for NBC. It's Jimmy Kimmel. Now, if I had, I'll be honest with you, not Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel's okay to me, but. If I was to stay up until 11:30, which is highly unlikely, but if I was to stay up that late and I had a choice between Jay Leno, David Letterman, or Jimmy Fallon, I'd watch Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel, not so much. Jimmy Fallon. Dick Van Dyke's going to get a Screen Actors Guild's highest honor, the Life Achievement Award, which is cool. 86-year-old entertainer received the honor at the annual Screen Actors Guild Awards ceremony in January. He already won a Tony, a Grammy, and 5 Emmy Awards. He'd done good, and Grammy Award-winning singer Alanis Morissette puts her handprints in the cement at Rock Walk induction ceremony at Guitar Center on Tuesday in L.A. So that's the famous singers go to there. Some make it to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but it just depends on where you end up. Here's a picture of a huge forest fire in Spain. Another big inferno thing going on. It's like, holy cow. There's no way to know whether this is remotely accurate, if this is totally absurd, if this is less than the actual problem. It's such a huge number, and you're talking about 300 million people in this country. And so here it says Americans waste, this is according to the National Resources Defense Council, Americans waste $165 billion in food each year. $165 billion in food. 40% of the country's supply each year. 40%. We throw out 40% is what they're saying. Do you throw out 40% of your dinner? I don't. I wouldn't have taken it to begin with. That doesn't make sense. I don't think I understand that. If they just had the number, I would have said, well, I don't know how much that's worth, you know. But to say 40%, that's weird to me. I'm sorry. That's just weird to me. That people leave almost half the food that they are take or are served, almost half of it gets thrown out. Does that strike you as okay? Doesn't strike me right, I gotta tell you the truth. Sounds a little strange to me. But anyway, that's it. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Here was a platform group that's writing for the GOP is taking a hard stance on illegal immigrants. And so this is going to be a back-and-forth huge battle, of course, during this whole thing in the next couple of months anyway, about what to do and what not to do and why to do it. And the DMV can't figure out what they want to do. So. And then this grim milestone, the death toll in Afghanistan has reached 2,000. And I know when you compare that with other wars, it doesn't seem like a lot. Seems like we've been there 9 years, but it's a lot. You know, one's a lot. Two's too many. So it's really quite sad. And here's the interesting thing. The first 1,000, it took 9 years before the U.S. forces reached the first 1,000 dead, and the second 1,000 came in just 27 months. Things are getting worse. Things are not getting better. They're getting worse. And we're drawing down our troops, so things will continue to get worse. At some point, put them all on a plane and bring them home. It's like, holy cow. Just, you know, this can't be done the way it's being done. I had another report here, another report I was going to share with you. And this is perpetuating facts via Facebook. So what's interesting they're saying is that people, you know, people pass on emails the same way. I get emails from people sometimes that I think are just hogwash, but they're purported to be fact, and they probably get them from me. But here's the thing, you know, when you go onto social media, you know, how much can you trust and depend on what you're actually seeing there as opposed to what's actually real?
Spend any time on social media sites like Facebook and Twitter, and you can't escape statements about the presidential candidates. But how much of that information can you believe?
You can't believe everything that you see on Facebook, especially Facebook.
Here's what some people in Midtown Manhattan had to say about it.
Do you ever fact check some of these things?
When it comes down to the election, when it's time to vote, yes.
I always fact check it, and I usually try to keep up with what's going on. But other than that, if it's something that's just silly that you could tell that they don't know what they're talking about, I won't even respond.
I don't get swayed either way. I tend to make up my own mind with respect to candidates, and I don't really care what my friends think.
I'm CNN's Steve Kastenbaum. I was starting to wonder where this was all heading when I saw people on Facebook, friends who I consider to be smart or at least open-minded, posting things about President Obama or Mitt Romney that just weren't true. Obviously, there's no shortage of folks passing on information not supported by the facts. One of my CNN colleagues agrees.
My name is Rebecca Sinderbrand. I'm the political producer for AC360 here in CNN.
This is the fourth presidential election that Rebecca has covered.
We haven't lacked for material this year for the Keeping Them Honest segments, unfortunately. There have been nights when we've had half a dozen options, all of them completely outrageous.
Rebecca says it's nothing new for campaigns to spread misinformation. But then it's picked up by people who don't do the fact-checking. They just pass along anything that they think will help their candidate.
It's an interesting phenomenon, and it's tough. Campaigns are still figuring out their way how to fight this, because in addressing something that is untrue, you may actually introduce the story to people who haven't heard it before.
In this age, you have free rein to kind of indulge your beliefs and to avoid information that contradicts your beliefs.
That's Farhad Manju. The Slate.com writer put out a book called True Enough, Learning to Live in a Post-Fact Society.
It's startling to me that, you know, in this age we have more really good organizations fact-checking everything that politicians say, everything that kind of high-profile pundits say, and people know about these fact-checking sites, but the fact-checking sites don't resolve debates about kind of really fundamental things that are going on in the world.
Manju says we all have a tendency to go toward news and information that supports our beliefs and avoid information that contradicts them.
It's gotten worse. At the same time, the people who are looking out for it have become more adept at noticing things that aren't true and spotting them. But in general, we have kind of less regard for the truth these days.
And so you have these arguments where it's just different motivations that people have, and yet both people think that the truth is on their side.
Jesse Graham calls this phenomenon confirmation bias.
If it's something that is germane to our side, we think, can I believe it? And if it's germane to the other side, we think, must I believe it?
Graham is a psychology professor at the University of Southern California. He studies how ideology and morality influence human thought and behavior. He's troubled by all the misinformation about the presidential candidates that he sees being quoted on the internet.
It just spreads like a virus, and no amount of debunking seems to stop it. It's frustrating to anybody that really cares about our democracy, that really wants us to be a sort of civilized conversation, and that, you know, we can, you know, as a nation sort of agree on the direction to move our country forward.
Okay, so for some folks, all they care about is their political ideology. But is there a danger in that?
I think there's absolutely a danger. I mean, you know, if people get further and further apart, then it's like you have two nations with two realities and two ideas of what the truth is, and there's almost no point in the two of them talking to each other at all.
There is one bright spot. Graham says the misleading information and outright lies in the social media posts hold very little sway over voters. The reality is an overwhelming majority of people already know who they're going to vote for and are unlikely to change their minds. So I guess that leaves me having to either put up with it through November or stop checking Facebook and Twitter so much. Steve Kastenbaum, CNN.
In the year 1870, San Luis Obispo was a different place than it is today. The city was known throughout California as El Barrio de Tigre, the town of the wildcat. This was the year a group of Masons formed King David's Lodge No. 209 and established the Freemasons of San Luis Obispo. For the past 142 years, Freemasons have been serving the community. And on Tuesday, August 28th at 6 p.m., they're once again opening their doors to the public to showcase their 99-year-old historic lodge, located at 859 Marsh Street in the heart of downtown SLO. At the Masonic Open House, you'll be able to tour the historic lodge, receive a brief history of Freemasonry, and meet local Freemasons. The event is free and open to the public. The SLO Masonic Lodge is located at 859 Marsh Street in downtown SLO. For more info, visit slomasons.com or call 545-FREEMASONS. Ask one to be one.
Just like the Dodgers on the field, your car is a finely tuned machine. Keep your car running Dodger smooth at Black Road Auto. You can save money on all types of car repair, foreign and domestic. With over 20 years of experience in transmission and car repair, Black Road Auto has over 15 acres of classic and hard-to-find auto parts. When you need your car repaired, transmission service, or auto parts, think of Black Road Auto. Black Road Auto, 1500 Black Road, Santa Maria, or call them at 346-2770. That's 346-2770.
On Saturday, August 25th at noon, and again 30 minutes later, the San Luis Obispo County Early Warning System sirens will be tested. The sirens will sound for 3 to 5 minutes, but you're not required to do anything. PG&E and the San Luis Obispo County Office of Emergency Services are only testing the sirens to make sure they're working properly in case of any major local emergency. If you hear sirens at any other time, tune to a local radio or television station for emergency announcements. This message is from the County Office of Emergency Services and PG&E.
Moment forever. Every moment spent with you is a moment of treasure.
I don't want to miss a thing. I'm sitting here trying not to miss. Hi, you're Bill, talking Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network, 1340 KYNS at, we'll call it 133 right now. And I hope your day's going good. The weather wizard says nice, mild day. We had this weird chance, according to Dave Hovde on KSBY last night. We had a weird chance of some thunder showers last night, but I guess they never materialized. I didn't hear anything. Of course, I'd sleep through it anyway. But anyway, that's what was the thing right there. Now, let me see what's just hit here as far as news, because I don't want to. Well, here's a big story today, and that's the cases of West Nile virus that have, at least 40 people have died so far from the mosquito-borne illness here in the United States, and that's and they see it's going to go at least through August. And then, but here's the weird, really weird, weird. They had a story on TV last night. They had a neighborhood down in somewhere in L.A., anyway, the neighbors, a lady in the neighborhood contracted West Nile virus, and everybody pointed to the fact that there's an abandoned house, there's a foreclosed house with a swimming pool that has water in it that's just green, nasty, mosquito, nasty water. And so that's where they assume that she got this West Nile virus. So they've contacted the health department. They've contacted the bank. They've contacted everybody in the whole wide world. And everybody just kind of shrugs their shoulders and goes, nothing we can really do, which makes absolutely no sense in the whole wide world. And I think the bank said, well, it wouldn't do any good to really take care of that. It wouldn't. It wouldn't. It's too weird to imagine that you can see what you could see in this photograph and then have somebody go, well, it wouldn't matter if we tried to change anything. Amazing. Just amazing right there. A GOP source says Aiken's in a parallel universe. I don't think he's in a parallel universe at all. He's in a totally other universe. He's out there. A legitimate rape reaction goes global. A weird thing to say, that guy. Anyway, so the guy's just a nut. Okay. I got a thing about Prince Harry there. Kid, guy, sky, go out, have fun, that guy. There's nothing wrong with that. Good for him. Okay. That's about it. All right. There's nothing else coming in right now that's of great significance, so we'll leave it at that. All right. There are other things in our news and what is happening that are of significance. I can tell you that. What a strange, strange, strange story. This is in Ellicott City in Maryland. Here, two young girls, before going back to school and after the summer, are sitting on a bridge, a railroad bridge, and a train comes along that derails and not only it knocks them down to the street below and then dumps coal on them and kills them because the train was loaded with coal. And so at one point I heard somebody say, well, maybe they're trying to see if the girls could have anything to do with it. Doesn't sound like it. They were texting. They were showing pictures of their feet dangling over the thing. They weren't saying, here, look, this is how we're going to derail this train. Anyway, a very amazingly wrong place, wrong time, terrible thing. Diana Nyad, as you know, ended her attempt to swim across the Straits of Florida on Thursday and on Tuesday, rather, excuse me. And it's just I don't know why this woman keeps wanting to try to do this. You know, she gets stung by jellyfish. Things are not good. That's bad news. That's bad news. Now, here's the thing we need to report here. The rover Curiosity, they said in the news here at 1 o'clock, actually traveled 10 feet. And they're all excited about it. And now they say the next thing that's going to happen is they're going to make it go 30 feet. Is this thing designed to eventually rove? You know, Curiosity, is it supposed to go out there and be amongst them? You know, I mean, look at the thing. Look at the golf cart we had on the moon, for gosh sakes. Anyway, I guess they're going to do more with it. Isn't that what you assume? I do. Natalie's death certificate has been changed to reflect some of the uncertainties and lingering questions surrounding the actress drowning more than 30 years ago. The guy who was the captain of the boat, Dennis Davern, told Today Show that he had heard actor husband Robert Wagner Wood arguing the night after her disappearance. And he says he believed Wagner had something to do with it, but they're not saying that he's a suspect in any way, but the whole thing was weird. And then they had, what's it, Christopher Walken was out there with him, making the whole thing stranger. It sounded like a very strange situation. All right. Crackdown in California pushes marijuana grows to other states. Here's the head. This is where they got all this marijuana. Listen to this. As the operation began July 1st, agents have seized 734,000 marijuana plants in California, state accounted for 83% of the pot seized in the western region. They destroyed nearly 48,000 plants in Idaho, 25,000 in Arizona, 19,000 in Washington, 18,000 in Nevada, early and near 10,000 in Utah, but just 300 in Oregon as of last week. Anyway, 500,000 plants seized had a value of $1 billion. You realize what we should be doing. Not just taxing marijuana. Forget just taxing marijuana. The state should be the one that supplies it. You know, Happy California marijuana packs. Or whatever you'd sell it in. I don't know about it. How are you going to do it? You know? And then the state just keeps the money. And taxes it on top of that. We'll let the Native Americans do it. Go ahead and let the tribes do it. Okay. This is going to be a little bit tough. Now, this I'm really glad to hear about. The Senate unanimously approved and sent Governor Jerry Brown SB 1349, which would make it illegal for colleges to demand social media usernames and passwords from students and employees. And it should also make employers. I don't know why they didn't put employers in there also. They shouldn't be allowed to do it either. What you do on your Facebook has not had nothing in the whole wide world to do with what work is about, in my opinion. Playgrounds at fast food restaurants will have to meet strict cleaning standards if the bill approved by the Senate on a 25-12 vote becomes law. AB 1513 require restaurants to keep play areas as germ-free as eating areas. I don't know if that's good news or bad news. Maybe they're already as clean as the eating areas. You know, they have, so the kids don't get hurt. You know, they got all this rubber foam and stuff. And I don't know how you could keep that as clean as you would clean the inside of a restaurant that has a Formica tabletop. Good luck. All right, good luck with that one. All right, other things that are going on. So here they have an article in Texas has a real big West Nile virus thing. They have 10 deaths and 20 cases since last weekend, and 10 deaths reported. Texas has now seen 586 West Nile infections reported this year and 21 deaths. It's really bad. Federal appeals court Tuesday overturned a federal rule that would have forced 28 states to clean up air pollutants. California has the burden of cleaning up all air pollution and things that go on. So you don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Don't worry. And then we mentioned yesterday the low water level in the Mississippi. Things are just stranded. It's like really crazy. 50 buildings burned in a California wildfire. This is this one that's around these three in Manton and these three little towns that are there. And they say they assume that they were homes. They're likely homes. Yeah, that's all that's there. Okay, that's all that's there. So I would think that's right. Okay. I don't know what this means exactly. It's a one-sentence story. Iran is the final stages of sanitizing a military site it is suspected of using for secret nuclear weapons-related experiments, two senior UN diplomats said on Tuesday, whatever that means. A veteran war, a Japanese war correspondent was killed in Syria during covering that civil war. Malay Zenawi, the Ethiopia's longtime ruler and major U.S. counterterrorism ally who is credited with economic gains but blamed for human rights abuses, died of an undisclosed illness. He died, he was 57, he died in a Belgian hospital on Monday. I always liked Haile Selassie, that little guy. I thought it was kind of fun. That was back in the day. Back in the day there. Okay. Back in the day we had Haile Selassie. Haile Selassie. His name just sounded cute when you started thinking about it. Okay. Guess what's going on in the Royal Village? They're talking about putting a market in where JJ's used to be. They're finally getting around to that. Remember, a guy bought the property. He wanted to turn it into a surf place, but the city gave him so much grief that he said, "The heck with it. I don't care. Anyway, he's eventually sold this property to somebody else, and a guy named a developer, Nick Tompkins. And so he's hoping that they can redo the whole thing and have a market and probably adjacent business. And have a market there next year, John Spencer, because he's no longer in Arroyo Grande, expressed interest in going to that location. Yes, it's like the 800-pound gorilla sitting on the table. I don't know what John's situation is, and I don't know what his lease is like in San Luis Obispo, but it would certainly be fortuitous to move across town to where Scolari's was. But that may not be in the offing anyway. So what is. That's the way that works. All right, other things going on. The editorial opinion of the Tribune, a local couple comes to the rescue in Grover Beach, you know, when they bought the property, the big garden. Okay, they had a very strange story today in the paper about you wouldn't want to be an Olympic loser in North Korea. Here are some other places. The Kenyan, Nigerian Olympic officials, the acerbic press's reaction could be worse. Choice headlines included Kenya's Olympic fiasco, dark secrets of Team Kenya emerge, and from Nigeria's vanguard, Olympic flops return home. That's what I said about their own athletes. In Iraq, back in the days of Saddam Hussein, they would torture athletes that failed. They would actually torture them. Saddam Hussein and his brothers, his son, one of his sons was in charge of it. And luckily, he's no longer on the planet, so that's relief there. In Colombia, an athlete returned that had not succeeded well and was executed by a drug person who had bet a lot of money that they'd do okay. Yep, it ain't easy sometimes. It's just not easy. Okay. It ain't always. There you go. Let's do sports and find out what happened last night. As you probably know, I think within about five pitches, the Giants scored two runs, and they stayed on to beat the Dodgers 4-1. Game three is tonight at Chavez Ravine at 7 o'clock. Don't let them sweep you, for gosh sakes. All right, Stanford picks Nunes to replace Luck at quarterback, and Luck's not having good luck at quarterback so far in the pros, but Nunes is going to be his replacement. San Luis Obispo High senior Garrett Glavinelli is the top returning quarterback in the Pac-7 this season, and so that's good news for them. Let's see, we had other things I want to tell you about. Clemens just wants to play baseball because why waste all those steroids? San Luis Obispo High School Tiger returns loads of experience. The Greyhounds hoping to overcome big senior losses. Bearcats are seeking return to the postseason. And the Eagles look to reload after their championship run because they lost a lot of players, but they did a heck of a good, they had a great year last year for sure. So that's what's going on there. And then, of course, there's the funny papers. All right, now, let me make sure again here because I sometimes miss things. No, that's where we are. Prince Harry, the top, besides Aiken, the top story is that Prince Harry was naked in Las Vegas. Now, here's the interesting thing. They've warned the British press not to publish pictures of that stuff, which is interesting because the British press is usually the one that's doing it. But anyway, they say in this case, don't do it. Here's a headline, middle class falls further behind. I didn't know. Let me see if I can even understand this. It's five text messages you never send, it says. I'm going to see if I can understand what it is they're telling me. Because I have to be able to read them, and I don't do text. So I don't know if I can actually understand what this says. At the speed it's going, I might even get to understand it today. So let's return to some other things that are happening in the news today. Okay, the question is, did bad beef enter the food supply? And this was because of this place over in the Valley Slaughterhouse that was just a wreck. And In-N-Out Burger was using these outfits as a supplier, immediately stopped. But, the question is did they, you're not allowed to have sick animal meat in the food chain. And the question is, did that happen? So it's kind of crazy. All right, here's... Netiquette, five texts you should never send. Let me see what they are. Oh, here's five texts you should never send, and then they have a reason for it. But I think that by texting and having that ability, I think it's certainly, matter of fact, they had an article the other day I was reading where they said, should you still use the term dear so-and-so, like if you're writing to a future employer or a possible employer, to anybody that's not a family member or close friend or something like that, because it's been out of use for so long because of emails and texting, that dear may sound a little bit over the top. But see, there's no sense of being old putts. Times are changing. They do change. And the social norms for people today are much different than they were for us and the people before us and the people before them. It just changes. And it changes. We're in this technology revolution right now, technological revolution. And things change. Okay, here's things you shouldn't text. I think we should see other people. That's not going to go over good on the other end. Here's one that's even scarier. Would you text this? Would you, I guess somebody probably has done it. It actually has happened. People, and it isn't in innards wrenchingly horrific enough after this happened, Miss Myers went on to condone it. Are you ready for this? Will you marry me? Going to text somebody if they want to marry you? We're thinking about going to shortstop later, but Aiden is still napping, and Mona was talking about having people over for a cookout. IDK, if I want to be out in the heat, I don't know. I guess if I want to be out in the heat, though, since I'm still hung over from Bosco's pirate party thing last night, are you and Weed still... I don't even understand that. Wander around the park, or do you want to do something later? Hit me up if you see this before 10. Going to go pass out for a while. These are things you shouldn't text people. I don't know why you text them these things, but you shouldn't do it anyway. And then according to a Pew Research Center study that is according to the Times, due out later this year, 6% of American adults, that's 1 in 17 upstanding citizens, has sent a nude or nearly nude but not never nude photo on a cell phone, and 15% have received such a text. Apparently, these self-portraits are prolific. Leave some of the imagination, folks, it says. Leave some of the Hey, Harry. Harry, you. We don't need to have naked billiards, bud. What was it called? Strip billiards. Strip billiards. We could have naked bed bouncing. Yeah. I didn't even get involved in there. That's all right. Americans will hit the road for Labor Day, it says. They plan to do a lot of driving this Labor Day. I plan not to do a lot of driving this Labor Day, but that's just me. I've never, how do I say this? Labor Day has never been a special time to go someplace for me. I know a lot of people it is. You know, a lot of people, it's their last gasp. You know, people from the valley coming over here and stuff. And they say, okay, this is our last big time to have, you know, 3 days. But I, you know, I'm not going anywhere for 3 days, so I live here in paradise as it is. So how would it work for me? It wouldn't. Wouldn't work at all. All right. Other people and things that are happening in our world. I want to check on something here first, just for 1 second. Take me just a second. Okay, thank you. Okay. Well, this is another fascinating new technological thing that there's going to be more of. There's no question about it. And that's when they had Tupac Shakur rose from the stage in the California desert early this year. It was a jaw-dropping resurrection, also the beginning of a new form of live entertainment. And so here's this holographic thing that they can do. And, you know, who's already said they're interested in it is Elvis Presley's estate. Marilyn Monroe's estate say they're interested in trying to see where this could go. Wow. So that'd be weird. You have a holographic Elvis singing at you again. It's kind of cool. Isn't that what Star Wars, they had that in Star Wars, right? You could send little messages that were holograms, and they say, "Help me, Obi-Wan! Help me, Obi-Wan!" And like that. But you don't have to say that. You can say something else. Or you could have somebody sing or dance or whatever you want to do. Or you could have them play strip billiards. Lawyers for Apple said Tuesday that Samsung was having a crisis of design after the launch of the iPhone, and executives with the South Korean company were determined to illegally cash in on the success. Samsung says that's not true. We can make a portable phone, wireless phone, that has more that has a bigger screen. That's not an iPad, sort of. Anyway, so the whole thing is they're going back and forth, and they got this. The problem is they have this relationship they have to maintain with each other in order to survive. Apple needs the stuff that Samsung makes, and Samsung needs to sell it to them. Other than that, it's working out really well. Okay, customer satisfaction with major automakers has returned to its highest point in nearly 20 years, which that's interesting. I hadn't read this, but I had the feeling that that's how people were kind of feeling about how things were going when it came to cars today. And that's what a neat thing that is when you stop and think about it, you know. Totally cool. you may find this hard to believe, Americans continue to do a better job paying off their debt, with a leading index of defaults on mortgages, credit cards, and auto loans dropping in July for the seventh straight month. So it's not like sort of we're doing better. And then Best Buy's second quarter profit tanked. Are you ready for this? This is hard to imagine. 91%. So they just hired this new guy to see if they can turn it around, you know. Hubert Jolly is who they hired. But you can't do worse than that. So you might as well take the job, dive in, and give it the go.
Oh, yeah.
Do I have anybody tomorrow coming in? I think not. I think it'll just be you and I tomorrow. All right, we can do it. And then we'll get together at noon and give it the go. So I'll see you at 12 o'clock, and we'll talk then. Until then, may your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network. Game over. With Bill Benica. Bye, bye,
bye, bye, bye, bye. Happy trails to you. Again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling.